Hallelujah, this is the 18-minute preacher. See, I'm in my studio. See, you know, I got to get right in my studio. See, I'm in my studio. My studio is mobile, see. My studio is my life. You know everything you need to know. I'm going to tell you a secret. I like telling secrets. Everything you need to know about life, you can find out within, from within yourself. See, you don't have to go searching around in other people's mind to get just a clear understanding of what you are about. You know what? Yes, you can take the information, but then this is what you do. You stir that information into the knowledge of yourself. You begin to make you your priority, and I don't mean your selfishness. This is what I'm talking about. See, you got to now take who you are, and you got to compare it. See, you got to take who you are, and you got to compare it against a man. You got to compare it against a man. See, you got to take who you are and begin to think about how you think. Begin to think about the things you care about. Try to think and imagine yourself before the presence of the Lord, and you thinking the way you thinking, and you looking in his face. What will he think about the way you think? See, that's making yourself a project. You know what that is? I'm going to tell you some deeper secrets. That's presenting yourself as a project. See, that's you presenting yourself. Here I am, Lord. Examine me, fix me, Lord. Try my reins, Lord. You know what I tell you? The most powerful prayer in the Bible. I'll tell you, I'm gonna put my finger on it. See, the most powerful prayer sequence in the Bible. Well, those of you that like combinations, you can play them in three if you like. You can pray them in three, and if you like, it's called, Father God, judge me. Try my reins, Lord. See if there's any iniquity in me, Lord. Test me, Lord. Test my mind, Lord. Test my thoughts, Lord. Test my heart, Lord. Because, you know, I have a tendency to lean towards wickedness. Test my heart, Lord. I have a tendency to lean towards destruction. Test me, Lord Jesus. I'm going to tell you how to get close to your God. He know you ain't right. He know you can't figure it out. He know you lost. He know you lost in confusion. See, you know our great God is lost. Know you lost in confusion. Do you know God ain't mad at you for being confused? God's not mad at you for being confused. God is not mad at you for being confused. He's upset with the fact that you won't seek him out. He's upset with the fact that you don't think he has an answer. See, you've been blinded. The enemy, his enemy told you that your God is inadequate. His enemy told you that your God wasn't sufficient to supply your needs. See, his enemy told you that God is not able to satisfy the thirst, the yearning, that burning that's down in your soul, past your soul and into your spirit, that essence, that fear, that understanding that death is coming. And what do I do? You can't get away from that. You got to understand that this Lord God, this man Jesus, has the remedy to death. Let me make it plain to you. If someone had the remedy to cancer, and you had cancer, would you go and book an appointment? The man couldn't sleep. If anybody ever just came up with something that just cured all kinds of cancer, immediately, you know that man would be working every minute of the day, every second of the hour. You understand that? In the name of Jesus, well, I got the remedy for death. In the name of Jesus. It's just fascinating to me that the Lord put the remedy of death on a rickety cart like me. It's amazing to me that God put the remedy to death on a rickety cart like me. See, I've been places around the world a little bit, and I noticed they take this cart Look like the car gonna fall over. The wheel is wobbling on the left side. The wheel is warped on the right side. But you know what? They pushing this cart, and me and them have their business on that cart. They got the business on that cart. Me and them have their families on that cart. I've seen them pushing that cart up hills. I've seen them keeping it from rolling down hills on the cart in the name of Jesus. Well, it's amazing to me that our great Lord and Jesus would decide to put the cure to death on a raggedy cart like me. But you know what? I never seen any of those raggedy carts broken down on the side of the road. I never seen them bent over to the point they're not moving. They might be moving from side to side, wobbling forward, back and forth, up and down. But they're moving anyway. That's the 18-minute preacher. Don't fix my cart up, Lord, if it's working. In the name of Jesus, I don't need a new mop. If the one I got is working, and in the name of Jesus, if you want to put a little oil on them wheels, I appreciate it by your Holy Spirit. If you want to put a new tread on the bottom for me, in the name of Jesus, see, because you've exchanged a man, see, you've exchanged the spirit of the man, see, you've exchanged the heart of the man. The cart might be a little raggedy, but the spirit and heart of the man is well oiled and working properly. You see, the devil want to get me confused, see, and make me think I'm out of my mind, see. I know sometimes the devil you know is better than the one you don't, but at the same time, why you gotta roll with the devil in the first place? Sometimes the enemy of your house will be laying next to you, will be in your spare bedroom, will be in your basement apartment. You got to understand, see, so you can't get away from the enemy. That's why I understand what Paul said. I'm talking as a man. I said, Paul said, you'll be better off by yourself. You just don't have to need that, and you just don't have to need this. But I tell you, if you want to just break it down from a purely spiritual, scientific type of way of looking at it, you will be happier by yourself if you can control your flesh. But if you can't, then you need to marry, see? Well, you know what? I had to do what I had to do at the time, but right now, I think I can control my flesh. I think I can enjoy being completely what they call single for the rest of my life. You know what? But I didn't come to mobilize troops around my cause. See, I didn't come to find a rallying call among those that think the same way I do. I'm saying to you, when your spirit man grows up, see, I listen to the Psalms all night long, or most of the night. When I woke up, I just put the Psalms on. I started repeating them back. I just started praying them back to God. I started listening to the Psalms. And you know what? I started praying them Psalms like they was my prayer. See, there was no separation. When I was praying the Psalms, I was like, this is my thoughts. When I'm praying these Psalms, as I'm listening to them in my ear and they're coming out of my mouth, these are my words. See, I begin to allow the Psalm, the words of the Psalms, to not only penetrate my life, but to penetrate my heart and that penetrate my language. You got to understand, when you begin to allow the Holy Spirit to do what it does naturally, you just got to put it to work, see. You just got to put the word to work, see. God will do his work. You can in many ways get out the way. Just plug it in, see. You got to learn how to plug in the word of God. You have to learn how to download it. You know what? I'm telling you a secret. Something got hijacked from God. If you take the word of God and you put it on as you sleep, you let it pour into your subconscious. Don't sit there with a pen and paper and try to figure it out right now. That's not this time. That's for later. This is the time of consumption. When you do that, what you allow to happen is that your spirit will wake up. Your spirit man will wake up. If you allow your subconscious man to hang out with your spiritual man, there'll be a wake-up call in your existence. I'm going to say that again for you deeper intellectual ones. If you allow, in the name of Jesus, your subconscious personality. See, that's what you dream out of, a subconscious personality that's attached to your heart. It's like the intellectual part of your heart. It's your, in the name of Jesus, if you allow that subconscious intellect to fellowship with the Spirit of God through his word as a dining place, as a place of meeting where the Holy Spirit can begin to feed your spirit the things that God has to say about himself, so you'll know who you're dealing with, so you'll know who you're rolling with, so you know who's in your corner, so you know who's behind you and who's beside you. In the name of Jesus, see, the problem with many born-again believers, you don't really know the character of God. You don't really know how he thinks. You don't really understand what he believes about himself. You don't really have any understanding of the kingdom culture. Why? Because it's been hidden from you. Now you have no excuse, though. You can find out what the kingdom culture means to you. And I'll tell you, this is a deeper secret. All you have to do is put the word on and let it play. See, if you are born again believer, if you put the word of God on, the Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, the book of Job, and you let them play over and over and over and over and over and over in your life will be transformed by the Spirit of the living God. Because those three books, those four books can't live in you and not change who you are. It's like you watch your favorite program over and over and over again. You look, you read the books of the science and the 48 laws of this, and you listen to them over and over. Matter of fact, that's a principle in the so-called hidden knowledge community, is that you take anything and you play it over and over and over again. You watch anything, you watch it over and over and over again. The thing of that thing starts to get in you. If you watch nothing but this over and over and over again, then the spirit of that begins to permeate in your heart in the name of Jesus. Don't you know that yet? Don't you know how you are human? Don't you know how the human being is? You a sponge mechanism. You a sponge mechanism for something. The human being was created to be a sponge, whether it's of knowledge, whether it's of death, whether it's of life. You're going to consume and be a sponge for something. That's our nature, to worship something, to sponge in and squeeze out something. Yeah. You don't know who you are yet. See, the human being is not like any other creature on the face of the earth, in my opinion. See, most other creatures was created to exist. You was created to worship. All other creatures was created to exist and perpetuate existence, but you was created to worship. That's what your creation, it was all about, worshiping. Worshiping your God, worshiping your Lord in the name of Jesus. That's why you worship false idols, false gods. That's why you worship yourself, knowledge, the flesh. Pick one. There's a lot of gods on the shelf. And if you don't like those gods, you can fashion one of your own. But you're going to worship something, science, logic, not believing. whatever you own, a power, military, you worship in something, a sitcom, a name of Jesus, a Barbara Dow, you worship in something, you're bowing down to something, something has your full attention, a bottle, a woman, in the name of Jesus, a man, a child. I can't live without my child. Well, I suggest you learn how to. I can't live without that woman. Well, I suggest you learn how to. I can't live without that man. I suggest you live. You find out what it means. Your family, because there's coming a time where there's only you. And you're going to have to understand that your God is the only provision you're going to need. Hallelujah. You're going to have this in your backpack and in your thermos. That's the only way. That's the only way. You're going to have to eat his flesh and drink his blood. You're going to have to get his personality, the will of his personality down in your spirit. You're going to have to wake up spiritual. You're going to have to wake up spiritual, man. You're going to have to wake up spiritual, woman. In the name of Jesus. You got to stop sleepwalking. You got to stop sleep talking. You ever been laying down with somebody, or you ever had a friend or a partner or whatever you want to call them, and they talked in their sleep? See, I'm a sleep talker. I talk in my sleep, see. I can have conversations with you in my sleep. That's why I try to live righteous, because I'll tell it all as I sleep. Got to have a pure spirit. I don't need the pollutions. Cause I need to be able to hear the voice of my Lord clear. I need him to make it plain in these last days. My time is in your hands, Lord. I have a goodly inheritance. I shall live and not die. Because my Lord lives in me. I am the sanctuary of my Lord, where his spirit dwells in me, a temple where my God can find a time of rest in his creation. Come on, sit down, Holy Spirit. Can I get you something? Can I get you some spiritual tea? Call the word. Call the book of Job. Can I get you a nice spiritual meal in Psalms, in Proverbs, in Ecclesiastes, in the prophets? You want to sit down, Lord, and have a let's dine on your word together. Feed your servant.